Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Deep Dive, where we get to recap a winning weekend in the NFL and talk about what to look forward to here coming up in week six, followed by a little bit of insight on the Monday night game between Andy's Minnesota Vikings and the Mitchell Trubisky-led Chicago Bears. How'd you do this weekend, Andy? You have a good weekend?
It turned out all right. College went very badly, just very badly.
College has a tendency
I need to just lay off some of the college because I had a couple nice wins during the week, but then the pros, I ended up tailing some of those, some of the totals that we both liked, added those on. That dug me out of my hole because I think what I posted
night
on Twitter went 3-3. Freaking baseball. Baseball's hard.
Yeah, sure is.
But ton of it right now. Thanks. The Astros are up already. That's why we want to keep them moving.
Oh, wow, really? All right. That'll be interesting. Yeah, my card went Sunday was a roller coaster, man. The early games were so ugly. There was just bad football, bad coaching, bad quarterbacking across the entire slate. Like the Reds, like I felt bad for the guys who were in like the control room at the red zone trying to like make decisions about which terrible game to cut to. But it was literally like, you know, you could have fired half a dozen coaches for some of the decision making. You could have benched
three
or four quarterbacks at halftime. And at one point, like late in the third quarter, I had six plays in action out of the early games yesterday. And at one point in the third quarter, I was 0-6, like all six were behind. And I was sweating hard on the Bengals, especially because I doubled down on them a little bit and had them in a contest. And I, you know, that Bengals cover was it was by the narrowest of margins, but boy, did it feel like they were trying to blow that thing. They were the right side. I contend they were the right side. They had some unlucky picks and some unlucky turnovers that really kept that game a lot closer than it should have been. But boy, did it look like the Bills were going to pull out another lucky cover. And thank goodness the Bengals made that one home. And then I had three overs in play. And at one point it was like, I think I'm not sure if any of the games that I played an over on had a touchdown at halftime. I think maybe one of them had a touchdown. And I was like, this is terrible. All three of these are going way under. And then the Niners Colts game just exploded with points. But I needed, it was another cold sweat. I needed them to score on that fourth and goal to take that over the total. And they called that ballsy play, throwing it. They didn't throw it to the end zone. They threw it to the goal line. And that tight end made that beautiful pivot and got that ball to break the plane. That was freaking awesome. So that took that game over. The Chargers Giants over was a fun one too, because there were ports of time where that looked dead in the water. And then it all came together
ever
with that weakest. So
like
bad.
He wasn't getting tackled incredibly hard. He's like, oh, I'm all thumbs today. It's
like
trickled out. Just like, oh man, he just pissed this away so bad.
So bad.
If you had a money line, or you know what, I think the second half was Giants by three. What was the full game on that? Away from me. Either way, there was a lot in the balance on that fumble. That really
so much. A lot of people. So much. Anyway, that took the game over, which was sweet. Super sad to see Odell Beckham get hurt. He's such an electric player.
That was a nasty-looking ankle injury.
Dude, it's so brutal that we have to see the Giants in primetime anyway. Now we got to watch the Giants in primetime without Odell Beckham next week in Denver, coming off their bye.
And I was just going to say without Brandon Marshall too, but I think he's also didn't really play significant role in that offense, it seems like, since they got him. I don't know the status on Shepard.
Yeah,
he's who else got hurt? I was in and out of
that game.
He's
not going to be 100%.
Everybody got hurt.
Even if they, we saw how bad this Giants offense is without OBJ when they played Dallas week one. They're bad. And you take that dynamic playmaker out of this offense, they have no running game. They have a terrible O-line. I don't love their chances of scoring double digits in Denver, with Denver coming off the bye against the the number one pass defense in the league right now by far. So that'll be that'll be fun on Sunday Night Football next week. I think we already know who the losers are going to be, and it's going to be NBC's Sunday Night Football ratings.
I mean, it's still a big
maybe.
Mark,
there'll be a baseball
player. I mean, the Giants still. hopefully for NBC, the Yankees have lost, and they'll be wanting the New York audience will want to watch something involving the New York teams. But yeah, I just did the little quick math on they don't have team totals out yet, which is silly because you know what they're going to be. But based on just the implied team total, it'll be like New York 14.5, which. I would go under on that. I would go under 13.5 if they laid that out there. Just I don't see them doing a terrible much of anything. That's not even a sentence. So
no,
yeah, that's one I already locked in. I took Denver -11 because that one's just clear as day that one's going to continue to get pounded. And if you so want, you can probably get the Giants +14 here in a few days.
I'm with you. We both did this. We both grabbed Denver just out of principle because this is such a bad matchup, and it's
off of altitude. There's Denver, a checklist of things.
Oh gosh, Denver just got the and I'm mad at myself for not identifying this in the preseason, but Denver got the softest opening to an NFL season I can remember. They got their last two preseason games at home. They got four out of their first five regular season games at home, including a bye week. So this is a team that has just been hanging out at home and loving life and being well and figuring stuff out for going on a month and a half now, which is just insanity. And so this is
so much easier on a younger quarterback.
So much easier. And
at home, great crowd.
Yeah, so we both laid the points early here on this Denver number. We're expecting to see this close in the 14-point range. And look out for some. Hopefully there'll be a good playoff baseball game on Sunday night, because this will potentially not be worth watching unless you have, maybe something will shape up on the total here. We'll be able to sharpen up some angle on the total. Right now it's 40.5. So yeah, it's 40.5 right now, and that's probably going to go down. Looks like 78% of the early bets are on the under. Let me talk real quick about New York Giants before we move off of this one, and the Jets for that matter. Cannot believe the Jets beat the Browns. That was unbelievable. That game should have been 21-3 at halftime, and here it is, 3-0 Jets.
You just have to move on, and that sort of. I was on them too. That was everybody who was on them knew they had the right side, that they should. Yeah. Lost the game. They should not have been losing.
They shouldn't have been close.
That was no. They were in the red zone so much. They just lived on the Jets side of the field, and boy, and then missed field goals, picks, turnovers.
Yep.
Anything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah. In the first half, they turned the ball over twice inside the Jets 10, and they missed two field goals, and they were behind 3-0 at half. So good job. That is about the least effective performance I've seen from a team that I can remember so far this year. The Jets, on the other hand, are 3-2. The Jets, who are so clearly tanking, who have such a depleted roster, their depth chart is awful. I'm not seeing players step up and fill roles and surprise on a talent level. Are you? Like, I'm not seeing that the Jets are actually a surprise good. I'm literally seeing that they have lucked their way into three wins against not good teams or mediocre teams in terrible spots, or a team like the Browns, who's the worst in the league, who refused to score points. And so, meanwhile, we came into the season expecting the Jets to tank to get a quarterback in the upper.
I think they are tanking. They're even bad at tanking.
They're not good at that.
They can't even.
Not even good at tanking.
No, they've just locked their way into. That's called variance. I mean, that sort of stuff happens. They should have lost that game by 10 points. Instead, they won by 3. That's I mean, just huge swings on the turnovers, and that sort of thing happens. Yep. It sucks, but that was one of our contest picks for a little Twitter one. So I think we went 2-1.
Yeah.
So we had the Packers.
Yeah,
Packers
we're doing well. We're moving, slide up a leaderboard. Yeah, we're hitting like 66%. We're doing good. So the 3-2 Jets host the 3-2 Pats this week. Do you see this?
Yeah.
Pats on the road, laying a cool 9.5 points. That's a lot of points. Boy.
Battle for first place. Here? Because I think Buffalo's on bye.
Yeah, Buffalo's on bye. So the winner here gives the first to 4 wins in the AFC.
First place, Brady, the AFC East McCown.
AFC East, who shocking, my German friend Suma pointed this out to me yesterday. The AFC East, believe it or not, has the most wins of any division in football. Three wins apiece for the Pats, Jets, and Bills. 2 wins for the Dolphins. Qualifies as the best division in football right now.
That's disgusting.
And so, yeah, who knew? Who saw that coming in? Anyway, so the Pats are laying 9.5. They make for, you know, the Jets always play them tough, which, you know, in a normal season, if the Jets were like, you know, 1-4 or, you know, had you know, weren't particularly, you know, if they weren't in this situation in terms of having already gotten 3 wins, this would be an interesting spot, in my opinion, to look at the Jets if the spread was this high. But the Pats, they get 10 days rest, and we've seen so far, we have yet to see a team come off of Thursday night, get 10 days rest, and not cover the spread. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We got another one in play tonight with the Bears, and we'll get to that in a second.
I think the Bulls are finally going to bounce the wrong way. Like, they're just not going to continue to get that lucky. Is one of those where it's tough to lay pretty much double-digit points on the road, even with one of the best, you know, quarterback coach tandems ever, and against a Jets team that's just lucked their way into 3 wins. But boy, it wouldn't surprise anybody if the Patriots won by like 30, you know, or they just put an absolute beating on them. So they've got to shake off that funk somehow.
Yeah, the way the Jets offense looked yesterday, this may be the kind of game. I mean, and the Patriots, people maybe made an argument that the Patriots defense kind of had their get-right game against the Bucs on Thursday. But even, you know, they wasn't that pretty. No, they needed Jameis Winston to make some ill-advised throws in the last seconds of all the game to keep from losing that, which is just amazing.
Did you see that? Speaking of the Jets having 3 wins, you see the Sheldon Richardson quote?
No.
Where they asked him because of the Seahawks game, if you want to go back to that at some point, what it was like for the defense, because he had to keep just going back out on the field with that defense, just kept having to go back out. And he said, bruh, I came from the Jets. I'm used to that. I thought that was funny, throwing some shade for no reason.
Oh, it's amazing. And Brandon Marshall goes from the Jets to the Giants, thinks he's going to a playoff team. Lo and behold, Jets are 3-2, Giants 0-5. Let me just one other thing I thought about real quick about the Giants, and I don't know if you saw this because it got lost in all the wide receiver injury news. Did you see Eli Manning had an MRI on his neck after the game?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Eli Manning.
He might be banged up.
Well, yeah, that's worth keeping an eye on. Yeah, he's getting hit plenty. At some point, do the Giants, like, do they literally pack it in? And do they, you know, I mean, Eli Manning is not a spring chicken. Maybe it makes sense for the Giants to go for the number one pick in the draft and take their pick of, looks like, some pretty good quarterbacks coming out. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but wouldn't that be a world where the Jets come into the season tanking mini games, Giants come into the season with the playoff expectations, end up losing their first 5, pack in the rest of the season, get the number one pick in the draft, and replace their franchise quarterback with another franchise quarterback?
They were 8.5 or 9 wins is what their team total or their win total was. I mean, it was 8.5. I'm looking at heavy juice.
Shoot, looking at their schedule without Odell Beckham Jr. and with potentially with the hurt or injured Eli Manning, I mean, this is they're looking at like 3-13 here, man. I mean, this is not good. They're the Giants. The Giants are not good. They. Yeah. If I had to put money on who will have the number one pick in the draft, it would be the Browns. The second bet would probably be the Giants. I think those two finish in the bottom two.
Yeah, I think it might go the rest of the season. Browns and then New York.
Yeah, the Niners have a hell schedule. The Giants have a hell schedule. These teams are going to be racking up losses. But the Niners, they're getting better. I mean, they've lost two in overtime now, so maybe. Well, they're not going to win this week.
I forgot they're winless, aren't they? I thought they had one. It just seems like they have one because they've covered for me. Sometimes you confuse covering and winning. You know, and the point differential. They've only got like a 30. You know, they're like -30 on points over five games, which is not like you're getting blown out. But yeah, you lose in overtime. That sucks. It's not like old school hockey or where you get a point for that.
Most of their differential was from the game one. I mean, week one against Carolina too. Since then, they've been keeping these games within a field goal. So they're going to win some eventually. I don't see it happening this week. We have an interesting situation this week where we have four teams coming off a bye. They're all at home. And three of those teams facing really limited squads. We talked about the Giants going to Denver already, so we'll put that on the shelf. Miami, and who somehow, some way, is still starting Jay Cutler. Even though the lousy game in Miami.
He was a winning quarterback. You can't say that about
the Miami defense has as many touchdowns as Jay Cutler does over the last 2 weeks.
He looks so bad.
Yeah, I don't know what Gase is doing. They have now to deal with this distraction of the offensive line coach blowing lines of
just ripping lines and making videos of it.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and now they got to head to the Atlanta Falcons and play Matt Ryan coming off rest, coming off a loss.
Ooh,
in a game where pretty good at home. They look pretty good at home, and I think you're going to see a mismatch here. They opened this one at -10.5, and this is another one that's going to creep up to two touchdowns by the kickoff, I suspect, because I don't know who's backing Cutler on the road and this derailed franchise at this point. The third team coming off a bye here, Washington. Facing the Niners. So the Niners again, you know, and this is such a tough spot. The Niners really struggle in these games when they're playing in the 10 a.m. slot Pacific time on the East Coast, and they sent them to Washington. So after traveling San Francisco to Indianapolis, they go back to San Francisco. Now they're going back to Washington to play early. And they opened this one. Washington and Kirk Cousins is -10. Most of the early action, surprisingly, is coming in on the Niners. People, I think they're better than, you know, 10-point dogs. 10 is where I would have probably projected the score. So if I see this drifting towards the Niners anymore, it may be worth grabbing a look on the Redskins if you can find a 9.5 somewhere. It looks like -10 is +105 at Pinnacle.
You can get -9.5
is
five.
Yeah, that's right around the corner. That's right around the corner. So that's probably going to land on my card. Washington as a money line in a off the buy parlay. What do you think of that?
I'm thinking an off the buy parlay, an off the buy teaser, and then an off the buy money line parlay, the three way parlay, and you know it's an easy 10-1 if all four of them just win by double digits. How hard can that be in the NFL?
You could do. Let me see if I can talk you into
the
what
teaser,
about
the sweetheart teaser, the money line, and the parlay, the quadfecta.
The extra rest money line parlay right now would include Washington, who's laying 10 at home against San Francisco. Yeah. It would include Atlanta, who's laying 10 at home against Miami. It would include Denver, who's laying 11 at home against the Giants. It would include New England, who's getting extra rest after Thursday night football, laying 9.5 on the road at the Jets. And the last, there's two more with extra rest. The Saints, are hosting the Lions. Very interesting game to handicap, and one that I think is going to get a lot of attention from the sharper backers here. Expected this one to open around -2 or -3 for the Saints, like they did for the Bengals against the Bills. But it opened -3.5, and it's already been bet up to -4, even though over 85% of the bets early came in on the Lions. So that's telling you that there's some pretty hefty early money on the Saints here. And Drew Brees.
I would have thought with that number, they're begging for some, you know, they would have opened at 3, 3.5 and begged for some Lions money there. But
yeah, and they looks like they got Lions volume, but they got Saints money because they pushed it out to -4. And I don't see that coming back anytime soon. I wouldn't be surprised if this kind of stagnates at -4 throughout the week. But the Saints are going to be an interesting team to handicap there. Got to look out. I got to find out if their tackle who they lost in the preseason to an injury. What's his name? Armstead, or I can't remember his name, but they have a really, really good left tackle who went out in the preseason. I'm curious to see if he's coming back after the bye here. And he could make a pretty important difference. The Lions defense got exposed yesterday, man. I thought the Lions defense was better than that. But Cam Newton and Ed Dixon, Cam Newton's new target, Ed Dixon, he racked up 150 yards receiving in the first half. What the hell is that? They couldn't stop Christian McCaffrey. They couldn't stop Ed Dixon. I don't know how you're stopping the Saints in the Superdome if you can't stop the Panthers at home. So this is an interesting spot, and the Saints are going to be an intriguing team with a little bit extra rest and with
like
the weapons
the
they have.
A lot better at home.
Softs. Yeah,
or
I do too.
Indoors, and, for that matter, anywhere indoors, they're just a better team. That's how they built that team.
Yeah, luck. The luck's finally running out a little bit on Stafford too. This is going to be an interesting one. I'm probably going to make
interception passes.
Yeah. Total on this one's too low as well. Looks like they opened 50.5.
Sitting there. I mean, here we are Monday afternoon. It hasn't budged.
Hasn't budged yet.
That might be an overplay. The Saints defense has tightened up. They're not this monstrosity that they're made out to be by certain podcast hosts that really really terrible. They've got, and I guess you give up 28 points a game for 2 straight years. You can't get worse, maybe. So I think they've looked a little better. But, there's still some weapons in Detroit. I think they can definitely score 50.5. Probably will get bet up closer to the 51, 52, 53, where I don't know if those aren't like key numbers, but I'd like it a lot better under 52.
Yeah, none of the other totals really stand out to me except for the Tampa Bay-Arizona total is a little interesting. I'm probably going to be back in Tampa Bay here. I don't think Arizona's a good team. Arizona's at home now. It looks like the total is about 44.5. Oh, speaking of totals, God, I have so much I want to talk about today. This might end up being a little longer podcast than we had planned. Did you see what happened in that Philly Arizona total?
I'm honestly just that was happy we didn't talk for 25 minutes about the goddamn Patriots again. I mean, this is unprecedented. You kind of just glossed over your boy Brady.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna skip that.
We don't want to go back.
I'm sure I don't want to go back. I was just loading up
for that, so I did not hear what you said. What were you gonna talk about?
Philly, Arizona. That total. That was one of the ones that I left off my card, and I was so mad at halftime because it was like, I don't even remember, 24-7 Philly or something. I was like, damn, this is going way over. And yeah, I think the total was like 45 or 46, and I left it off my card, and then it went over when LeGarrette Blount ran in a touchdown with like 4 minutes left, and then there was like a phantom hold. They took the touchdown off the board. Philly ends up kicking a field goal. The clock winds down. No one scores any other points, and it ends up being an under, which was kind of crazy because that was an over all day. And anyway, this total looks a little low. It's deflated because we saw Arizona go under. It's deflated because we saw Tampa Bay go under. They hung it at 44.5 here. It's been bet down to 44. This looks like an over spot to me.
Neither of these defenses is any good. And, you know, both offenses are due to break out a little bit here. And they're playing on a relatively, controlled stadium in Arizona. So you're not going to have to worry about weather or anything. So this looks like a nice overplay. And Tampa Bay is going to be an interesting look, too. This game opened at a pick, and now they're -2. It looks like they're going to be getting quite a lot of support from both the public and the sharps this week to bounce back on the road. The other couple of interesting notes I had for you here. Did you know the Rams who should have won yesterday? That was,
and they were
back
like
the Rams, man.
They were kind of like the Colts or the Browns as far as, are you just gonna not score though? I mean, they looked okay.
You don't want to score?
Right. You're just not going to score.
Moving the ball with ease against the stout Seattle defense. They fumbled into the end zone. That's my favorite play. I was dancing a jig. I saw that replay and I was like, oh, they're calling this back. That's going to be a touchback. I was so happy. I love it. When you're on the under and that happens early in the game, you know you're in for a sweet day. And sure enough, that thing came. That was just my biggest bet so far of the season on a single side or a total.
Oh, really?
And that came in 21 points under the total. No sweat whatsoever. That was spectacular. I was so happy. And but the Rams should have won that game, man. They should have won that game. They should be sitting at 4-1 and in the conversation for the best team in the NFC. But lo and behold, you turn over the ball in the red zone, you miss field goals. That's how it goes. They head on the road to face the mighty defense of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who seem to be creating points week in, week out. A trend which I think we both agree is unsustainable. But the Rams and the Rams pass attack then heads to the best, on paper, the best pass defense in the league in Jacksonville.
Don't get to face a garbage dumpster fire Hall of Fame quarterback this week, though.
Yeah, so that's true.
Handing them picks.
That's true.
Just some awful throws. So. And they have – I'm going to have to look that up, how many defensive freaking touchdowns they have already. Like, they're finding magical points out of thin air. I don't know if I'm – I am sold on that pass defense. Like, they should have just run the ball 1,000 times, and maybe the Steelers come away with a win instead of losing by three touchdowns.
Yeah, off the top of my head, the Jags D scored against Houston week one. They scored against Flacco week three. They scored against – the Jets last week, and they scored against the Steelers twice this week. So that's 4 out of the first 5 weeks they've scored defensive touchdowns, which is flat out amazing. But that's affecting the box score. It's affecting the perception. So just keep that in the back of your head. The other note about the Rams that's worth considering here in terms of them not being a side to back. Well, one, they just lost a brutal game they should have won against their hated rival. You never, never want to run to back a team after that happens to them. On top of that, they're going at Jacksonville and they fly directly to London post Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They packed up. They're packing up. They're leaving LA for Jacksonville with 2 weeks of clothes because they go right on to London. And also coming up, Arizona, who's home, is going to be traveling directly from Arizona to London. So on Sunday when they open those lines, grab the Rams at the earliest possible number you can find on Sunday night, and look for them to have a significant advantage over Arizona when they're in London week 7.
What would you open that at right now? Let's just say everything goes as planned. You have a close game in Jacksonville. Yeah. I was going to say it has to be north of 3. But
I think you say it's a neutral field, and I think power numbers right now, Rams are probably 4 points better.
Than the
Cardinals.
Unless something really wacky happens.
Right, and I think the Rams win by over a touchdown easy in that game, just based on the travel situations and based on how they match up with the Cardinals. There are a couple other good games, though, this week. Let's talk about real quick. I guess of the there's probably three games that are in the conversation for the best game. Thursday is one of them. Philly, Bears, Carolina, Ravens. Wentz, Nooner, Bears, Ravens. Philly, Carolina is a great one. Green Bay, Minnesota is a great one. And then Pittsburgh, Kansas City is a sneaky one. Kind of depends what the hell is going on with Ben Roethlisberger. Which one of those three do you want to start with?
Thursday. Cam seems to have figured out how to use, just the play calling too, but seem to have figured out their offense where they are.
Yeah.
They're poised to score 25 to 30 points a game fairly simply. And then Wentz, I think he's just not making those knob-dick plays that he is prone to make sometimes. I think it was like week one. Maybe it was week one or two where he was looking good. They're up like 14-0, and then he throws just an inexcusable pick six from like his 1 yard line. Where like it was just a 10-yard prance in the end zone. He's young. Those things happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems prone to just make awful decisions at awful times when they're doing well, and it really kills momentum. But playing Arizona is a good way to get right. He's looked good for a couple weeks now. A shootout. I'm already on this over 46. I think
nice.
Closer to 47, 48, and those are semi-key, 47, 48, 49. If you can get under all those are some good spots to be when you think the game is going to score probably closer to 50.
I agree. And I think Carolina's probably the right side here. On a Thursday night game, you generally want to go with the more experienced coach and the more experienced quarterback. And this is Peterson and Wentz's second year in the league, and they only have one game of Thursday night experience. I'm going to have to go back and look at how they did on the Thursday night game. They played together last year. We'll obviously have a heavy load of this on our Wednesday pod when we kind of go deeper on the Thursday night game.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say we're out ahead of that over.
Yeah, the over is nice. I like the over too. This looks.
It'll
like
be interesting between like here and Thursday if that 2.5 moves. If he gets backing for Carolina, just based off, bigger names, more experience. I think that's kind of the angle you'd bet Carolina. If you like him, you might want to grab 2.5 because.
Yeah.
2.5 looks a lot better than 3, 3.5 if that does move that way later in the week. Green Bay, Minnesota. There's no Lions up right now.
How about Green Bay though? Was that vintage Aaron Rodgers or what yesterday?
Yeah, I had that over, and I had the Green Bay. I think I had it or the plus 2.5, 3. I don't know, somewhere. I never had a doubt that they were just going to win that game. I've seen him do that too many times. Where he's got a full minute. Oh, you're dicked. You're at least going to overtime. And
that was
he made it look easy.
It was incredible. The whole fourth quarter. First of all, that was the most bet game of the week, right? It was the most watched game of the week. I can guarantee you.
That over got dicey.
No matter what total you had, it was in the balance, in that fourth quarter. What Dallas did was freaking impressive. It was freaking impressive. They got the ball back with 10 minutes left. They said, okay, we have to sustain a drive. We have to eat the clock, and we need to score a touchdown because we're down by 4. And two out of three ain't bad. Well, they ate the clock, but they left just too much time on. And what was amazing is that, the reactions on Twitter were spectacular. I mean, everyone had a take, and it was all spectacular. McCarthy goes for the dumb 2-point conversion. I say dumb because I wanted him to kick the extra point to take the 52.5. I was like, the hell, dude? There's not enough time for you. Don't be worried about the Cowboys getting the ball twice and kicking 2 field goals, you dipshit. Like, just kick the extra point. And he went for 2 to go up by 6 instead of by 4. Lo and behold,
maybe somebody can forcing the other team to score. Yeah. 6, because being up by 6 rather than 5. the value on that has gone up with the amount of missed extra points, longer extra point. But I don't know what the right, you know, the math. There's some math guys out there that I'm sure know that probably that might have been the right move. But people on sitting on 52 and a half or 53 were less than pleased. And he was open in the back of the end zone, too, because he could have
right then and there.
Yeah. They're like, well, if you're going to go for it, let's get it. Let's close this down right now. And they didn't. So you had to sweat that out.
They
didn't.
So the over-under was in the balance, and you needed Dallas to score points to get the over. And they give them that first down on third down, which was one of the worst spots I've seen in weeks. And they challenged it. They reviewed it. Of course, it wasn't in the first down. They restocked the ball.
By a yard, almost.
Tied by a yard. They go for it on fourth. Every angle looked like Zeke got stopped. It didn't even look close. And then somehow, miraculously, they had a camera directly overhead of the play. I've never seen that angle before. Have you?
Do you remember? No, that was very cool. Those ones on wires. I thought that was a great angle. Do you remember what the Cowboys had for timeouts at that point? Did the Cowboys have?
They had at least two.
Because, you know, on that, Green Bay obviously just run, try to get a first down, and game over, stays under. But Green Bay had a lead at that point. And, you know, if they didn't get that, I'm like, and I had Green Bay, but I also had the over. So I wanted to be greedy and get both, and it ended up working out where Green Bay came back and actually won the game also. So that was nice. But, yeah, that fourth down was pretty chintzy there for a sec.
That was crazy, yeah. And if they didn't have the overhead camera, I don't think they would have overturned that. But you got the overhead camera, and you see Zeke reach out the ball. You see him break the 19. It was a perfect angle.
It was like Ohio State, Michigan last year.
From now on, seriously, get that camera in every situation like that, and save us the headache of fighting over it. And
it's funny because you felt like that whole game balanced on that play, but then as it turned out, it didn't turn out not to matter at all.
Oh no. And by the way, they score a touchdown on an amazing play call. It was such a great design. Third and one. Yes. They look like they are going to do the handoff into the pile. Wait, no, the quarterback is going to sneak it. Oh wait, no, our quarterback has wheels. He's out in freaking free territory running for the end zone and made it easily. Were you among the people who were critical of Garrett on that final drive? Like, you shouldn't have thrown that fade to Dez that stopped the clock, or they should have had Dak like slide at the one and continue to eat the clock? Or do you just you just take the touchdown in that situation, or am I crazy?
It seems like the fade is becoming less of a good play with taller corners and just better corner play. It's just not something that seems to work as well as it used to.
I know. I don't
know if they're quarterbacks. Some of these fades that you're seeing where they land 6 yards out of bounds were like, well, what was that anyway? Like, that was just a
– Right.
I think you need more room for a fade. They were – It seems like you just need a little more space to let that breathe. Then that stopped the clock, and honestly, and then they scored right away. Like, you wanted Dak to just like drop at the one, so then they could have just coming it in.
I don't think you
can't do that. You can't not score.
You can't, right?
They might have won the game then, because they would have been able to pound it in.
It's amazing. If Dak had kneeled at the one and they had eaten the rest of the clock and eventually plugged it in, then yeah. But that, there's no guarantee. And if you don't take that touchdown, then, and you don't end up getting it, then you've guaranteed yourself a loss. Meanwhile, you're rolling the dice, obviously, giving the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with a minute left. And at this point, how many seconds is too many seconds to leave on the clock for Rodgers? Eight? If you leave 8 seconds on the clock for Rodgers, he's probably going to still beat you, right?
Again,
get a field goal. He's going to tie you and take you to overtime. I mean, like, the guy is a damn magician, and he pulled it off again. His scramble down the sideline to put them in position to throw whatever they wanted to win the touchdown.
That guy had him, too. He had a hand on him pretty good.
He did, but Rodgers is too good. And, you know, at this point, it's silly to even debate about this. Rodgers is your MVP. If you can find a line out there for Rodgers MVP that's in the 2-1 range or better, I would just take it and and put that in your back pocket, because Rodgers is winning this thing. I'm sorry. It's not going to be Alex Smith. Even if the Chiefs go undefeated, Rodgers is still going to get the votes. And the Chiefs aren't going undefeated. Who are we kidding? The Chiefs are good, though.
We're going to have to record
that. Before we go to Chiefs-Pittsburgh in a game that ends up meaning a lot in the AFC, where do you stand on Green Bay-Minnesota? You think Minnesota has
Minnesota by 100, I'd say.
Minnesota's had their number. Minnesota's had Green Bay's number on their home field over the last couple years.
It'll be a good game. They always are. It really depends. I'd like to see how the running back situation hashes out, honestly, for both teams. Although, I can't think of the kid's name now from Green Bay. He didn't look bad.
A. Jones.
Is it Adam Jones? No, that's the Packers.
I don't know what his first name is.
A. Jones. Had a very nice game. Ty Montgomery might be back anyway as he lets those ribs heal up. We'll see how Latavius looks tonight and what else they use. They have some other options there too. They might mix in. You need to be able to run the ball to beat a better team. Their defense is bad though. I mean, the Green Bay secondary got shredded as usual, and Rodgers bailed him out. So hopefully Sammy plays. Sammy looks good. The running backs are decent. You know, Thielen and Diggs do their thing, and then you could have a game where
it's going to be
a very good team.
Bradford and the Vikings are going to be a little limited with the short week, which is too bad. This is Rodgers and company's second week on the road, which is going to deplete them a little bit. Minnesota has
you feel like it's one of those that comes down to the last
This feels play. A little, this feels a little crazy to even say this, but with Bradford, at least the way they looked week one, with their kind of revamped offensive line, Minnesota looks a little bit like Atlanta Light on their turf, and they could give Green Bay hell. And I probably will back Minnesota next week to whatever line we see. I'm guessing we're going to see Green Bay like a pick, right? We're going to see Green Bay as a pick or Green Bay minus one or two. That's my guess.
Yeah, what's your power rankings right now? Green Bay by 2, 3, 4 points over Vikes?
On a neutral field, yeah. On a neutral field by about three. So with the home field advantage, it should be about a pick, I guess.
Yeah.
It's tough, though, man. That Green Bay defense is bad. I mean, they were so bad against Dallas in that first half, and I mean that's the whole reason they ever got home. Anyway, let's talk about the last game, and then let's go back to Monday Night Football, and then we'll call it a brilliant Monday pod. The Steelers and the Chiefs are playing for, and this again, the Steelers got to
blindly bet the Steelers Chiefs here.
I think so. I mean, I think the call. Really,
you want to get in the way of that train?
I think the rest of October and November is, don't be stupid. Back the Chiefs. Like, I think it's just don't overthink this. Like, the Chiefs are on. They have the tools. They have the momentum. They have a relatively healthy squad. Although you got to keep an eye on what's going on with Kelce. If he's out for a concussion, that's going to limit them a little bit. Maybe makes the under a little bit of an interesting play here. But Roethlisberger looks absolutely as bad as he's ever looked. And Roethlisberger's had bad games. Has had bad games in the past. You can go to last season, and this is. Pittsburgh is a little bit rerunning last season. Have you noticed this at all? Week three, they lost to a team they shouldn't have lost to on the road in Chicago. Week five, they dropped one. Week five, they Eagles. Week five, I think week five last year, they lost to the Dolphins, right, in Miami. And now this year, they lost to Jacksonville. They're replaying their last season to a degree. But all that said, Roethlisberger is playing as poorly as I've ever seen him play. It's all of the pieces around him are doing their jobs. Roethlisberger simply, he got unlucky with a couple of tipped interceptions for touchdowns, but still, on the first drive out of halftime, the Steelers easily drove the field against a very good defense and had brilliant looks at the end zone and couldn't punch it in. If you have a team that's this talented and you can't get
7 points on the opening drive of the second half when you get it inside their 10. Like, something's going horribly wrong. Todd Haley is not my favorite coach in the league by far. He's not. And he probably needs to go. Mike Tomlin is struggling to keep this team together. There's obviously something terrible going on in the locker room that's devolved from all of this flag protest nonsense. And, yeah, I don't love the Steelers on the road in Kansas City. I'm sorry. The Chiefs are a very, very good team. And the Chiefs basically got to take the night off last night after going up 13-0. I mean, Deshaun Watson is obviously a very, very, very talented football player.
He's the next Bortles, 5 touchdowns and a loss. Geez. I said that when that stat came out. I'm like, that's hilarious. if you had him in fantasy, you know, good for you, because he's going to put up some yards. Obviously they weren't quitting on the game. They got it within a score or two there a couple times. It looked a little dicey, but they just then whenever it got in doubt, the Chiefs just trekked down the field real quick, scored, and yep, got it out of reach.
Got a special teams touchdown, scored, get a turnover when they needed one.
Yeah, they haven't even needed really Tyreek this year.
I got to say, this will wrap it up, and then we'll talk about Monday real quick. But obviously something happened week one when the Chiefs beat the Patriots in the opening game of the season. The Chiefs obviously felt like they had unfinished business from last season. They pretty much kept this entire team together. They drafted a quarterback. They traded up and drafted a quarterback in the first round, which put Alex Smith, he's basically vaunted himself into another level of quarterback based on that motivational bump he's gotten from them drafting a quarterback. And, they've galvanized. They put it together week one on the road in Foxborough, and they are carrying that momentum now to 5-0. And I would,
They got to play them week one when people still thought the Patriots were a good team. So it was a really big win for them. And as it turns out, the Patriots aren't that good.
the Patriots aren't that good.
That's a huge confidence boost. And then they just kept that rolling for the last few weeks here.
Yeah, that really galvanized this team. And they're really going to put together a special first half of the season.
It really showed me something going back last week, that they were able to play a terrible half of football, regroup, come back. I don't think the Redskins are a bad team. And they were thoroughly outplayed for a lot of that game. And they got it together. And they came back won the game. And, granted, they won by more than they should have there, but they were going to win. They came back and had a very nice come from behind win. And there's some good teams that just they don't play well from behind. That's something you need in the playoffs.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is they've been doing it different ways too. Alex Smith seems to have a knack right now for converting third downs to different pieces. He doesn't have a go-to move. He doesn't have a go-to safety blanket. He's finding all kinds of different guys whose names you've never heard of before converting third downs. Chiefs, don't overthink it. This is a spot they opened at -3.5. It's already up to -4. Chiefs are getting most of the looks here. And as long as they're hanging – as long as they're asking you to lay less than a touchdown on this team between now and like Thanksgiving, I don't see myself stopping backing them. With that, let's give a little attention to our Monday night game, and then we'll get our work week off and running. The Monday night game looks like it's going to be interesting. We got your Vikings on the road in a little bit of a look ahead spot against the Bears, and the first ever start from Mitch Trubisky, who got an extra 4 days rest, I guess, because they played last Thursday night. We haven't seen the Bears since they dropped a stink bomb in Green Bay. You get a little bit of an injection. Everything's as best the Bears.
They got the extra rest. It's a division dog at home. They always play well against Minnesota at home. You're getting over the
Minnesota's looking ahead.
You got the huge look ahead for Minnesota. Everything says bet the Bears, but a brand new starter, it's a little tough to just blindly back a guy you haven't seen play a regular season game or more than a dozen college games.
Right.
And still, he did look great in the preseason, but many things look good in the preseason. So I'm leaning more towards the total. I think it's a little low. I see a game in the mid to upper 40s. The Bears run game has looked okay. You have some big weapons in Minnesota. Like you said, well, what were your pass rush take on the big turf?
Oh, yeah, right. One of Minnesota's strengths on defense is clearly their pass rush and their ability to get after the passer. Soldier Field, they grow the grass extra long. They do that specifically to slow down opposing teams' pass rush. And it's worked pretty effectively to this point for the Bears. So I think you could see you're going to see Trubisky with time to make decisions, to make reads, to find players, to extend drives. And I think you're going to see Chicago score enough points to take this over.
He looked smart and confident in the preseason. Yeah. Granted, that was against some twos, but if they can keep Griffin, you know, if Everson's Griffin's not standing over him a bunch of times. Right. Doing sack dances, he'll have time to make decisions, make reads, and you know I don't see them not scoring. They'll put a couple in the end zone.
Yeah, I can make a case pretty much for either side here, so I'm not gonna go crazy here. I think of the two, I would lean the Bears just because it's at 3.5 right now, and like I said, I do think the Bears are gonna be able to score enough points to keep this competitive. The Bears pass defense is that good. And Minnesota with Bradford and his weapons they're gonna be able to break some big plays. They're gonna be able to score some points. So even if the Bears, you know, get out to a little bit of a lead, I'm not gonna be concerned about Minnesota coming back and answering and scoring points and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting. One of the things I just wanna, you know, you can see when they put in a rookie starting quarterback mid-season like this, it can go one of two ways. Either the kid's competent, everyone on the team, you know, and I wish we had gotten a little bit more of an insight from some of the players in Chicago. Like the Chicago beat writers are kind of keeping a lot of what's going on in the locker room up there under wraps, and I think maybe this is a John Fox strategy, and to a degree, John Fox kind of lacks confidence in Trubisky, you can tell. And I'm curious about what the rest of the Bears players feel about him. Because one of two things can happen. Either you put in a guy mid-season like this and it injects a little bit of life in the team because they're like, we believe in this guy. But, now you know, we have a chance of winning. Yeah, right. Yeah. Or it goes the other way and they're like, why are we starting a rookie? Like, we want to win this game. We should just stuck with Glennon. And I'm not getting a feel either, one way or the other about the way the players in the locker room are on this, and maybe they're undecided. Maybe they want to see him play. Maybe everyone needs to see Trubisky take a start before they really make a decision on him. And it's tough when your first start is going to be against the, you know, the Purple People Eaters. At least it's at home. So this will be a fun game to watch tonight. I'm with you on the over. 40.5 is too low. I'm going to be looking for this game to end both teams in the 20s. And
it should be a close deal. Black and blue, Norse division rivals.
Yeah,
and the Bears have a longer history, but yeah, this it'll be close. It always is, unless it's not. I'm just hoping the Vikes put up at least 28. Then I think I'd be feeling good about getting my team a win and hitting that over.
Yeah, agreed. And let's keep Bradford from getting hurt again. We want to see him healthy next week against Green Bay. Let's see a good start from Trubisky too. I mean, we want the NFC North is a fun division, right? You got great teams, great history. I would like to see a competitive Bears team for the next 10 years against a competitive Vikings and a competitive Lions and a competitive Packers. This is best. That would be a great if the NFC North became like the power conference in the NFC. I would be pretty the power division in the NFC conference. I would be happy with that. So I hope Trubisky's good. I hope Bradford stays healthy. And I hope we get a good game that goes over the total tonight.
Exactly.
All right, Andy. Have a great rest of your Monday.
We'll touch base again Wednesday for our Thursday pod. But yeah, the hot lock of the century, lead pipe, stone cold boot play is over 40.5. So
yeah, man.
Go points.
All right, man.
All right, we'll see you.
Have a good day.